Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When they traded up, I was definitely a little perked up a little bit. And then I got a text, because everything's so delayed. I got a text from my agent, marketing agent who I love, and he said he just texted quarterback. I was like, oh, wow, okay. So I love scotch, but I've been drinking some sipping tequila lately as well.
Right.
And once I got that text, I went to the pantry. I poured myself, you know, about four fingers. And I knew it was going to be one of those nights where the people are going to start calling. And there's going to be, hey, you know, everything fine? You okay? I'm like, yeah, fine. Like, you know, I wasn't elated by the pick, you know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away. But at the same time, I understand it's a business. I know that's a reality.
That is Green Bay Packers quarterback and future Bears quarterback, he said with imaginary intrigue. Aaron Rodgers on the brand new podcast, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, now available on Spotify and at YouTube. And that is Aaron Rodgers on that podcast. And Kyle Brandt of the NFL Network joins us right now on 670 The Score via the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. What's up, Kyle? Good morning. Four fingers of tequila. That would take me a little while to get down. I'm not a huge fan of straight tequila, but, you know, whatever works for Aaron is probably just fine.
And yet, Matt, if you got a text that said, sorry, we just hired your replacement and you'll be leaving soon, you might be able to take down the four fingers. I don't know you well, but I'm glad to be on your show, and I bet you could get the job done in that circumstance.
Yeah, I probably could under the circumstance. Yeah, it really, karma's kind of a bitch, right? It's like, I don't have anything against Aaron. I really don't. But just the way that he had an effect on Brett Favre and had an effect on the Packers, not by his own doing, and had to deal with all that. I feel like, is it going to be that protracted a period here for Rodgers to be living in Brett Favre's reality? Do you think this is going to go on for a while for him?
I don't. And more importantly, neither does he. When you speak to Rodgers, and if you see it on the YouTube, you can see it in his eyes. The word that I would describe Rodgers' feelings about the Jordan Love thing and Rodgers leaving the Packers, it's just certainty. There is a calm certainty that he has accepted his fate, and there is not an ounce of his body or brain that thinks that he isn't going to play down a football in another jersey. He'll play for another team, because this guy wants to play for a long time. He's on the Brady plan. Like, he wants to play into his 40s, and he knows for a fact in his brain. He's like, I know that I'm not going to be on the Packers. I know they're going to move on from me. It's like he spent the summer thinking about it, and now he's just had this relaxation that comes with leaning back and accepting your fate. And it might be a year. It might be 2 years, but I think it's going to be short, and so does he.
Yeah, you know, it's probably a healthier way to be about it, frankly.
Yeah.
Just kind of accept it and live with it. I mean, it happens to everybody. Brady's a buck, you know? I mean, it's like, how many examples do we need? Jerry Rice played for Denver and Seattle. So, it's probably going to happen. Has he entertained the idea of any place else specifically? Hint, hint, Kyle?
Well, it's so funny you say that, because he says things like, you know, I can see myself on another team. So I said, hold on a second. Let's get into this. Let's say it's a Saturday night and you're on your back deck and you've had four fingers, eight fingers, 12 fingers, who knows? and you're starting to let your brain wonder, and what I might look like with another team, and how could that go? And I just straight up asked him. I said, "Tell us, how do you look in a Bears uniform?" Hmm. And he laughed, and he said that would be tough. But Matt, he didn't say no. There was no no, and I don't think it is a no.
I wonder what Bears fans would do. I think they would talk tough. Maybe at first, some of them wouldn't bother to talk tough, but even the ones who talk tough would embrace it immediately. I think as soon as they saw him here, but it would need to be for a little while. Like, I don't think you want to sign on, and you don't want to be the Rams in Joe Namath's career. You know, you don't want that. But
no.
at his age, you're looking at, what was he going to play another 7 years, another 8 years in his life?
36. So I think he wants to play a good 5 more years. And as far as any Bears fan, if you feel better about yourself talking tough for a while, if Aaron Rodgers were to be the Chicago Bears quarterback, do whatever you need to do to feel good. But believe me, you're coming over to the bright side. You're buying the jersey. You're celebrating. All it takes is one time when he breaks the pocket and hits Robinson with a flick of the wrist down the middle that hasn't been seen in Soldier Field, I don't know, ever. They would come over very, very quickly, just like the Vikings fans did with Favre.
Yeah, well, it's true. And so that example exists, and locally, and you know this and remember this, born in Hinsdale as you were and growing up around here. It's like, if Dennis Rodman can be a Bull, then anything can happen, really, you know?
It's true, and Dennis Rodman, I guess the only worst case would be the idea that Bill Laimbeer suited up as the Bulls, as the Bulls center. Because Rodman was—he was hated, of course, because for what he did to Pippen. But he was also just weird. And it's a good example, though, Matt, because, you know, we hate Rodman, bleep Rodman, bad boys this, bad boys that. And then the second Rodman rips down a rebound and throws an outlet pass to Scotty, it's like, oh, I love Rodman, number 91. I'm going to dye my hair and buy his jersey. Trust me, they goes very quickly.
All right, so Kyle Brandt's on Good Morning Football, and a lot of people watch that and love that. And now the podcast. So is it going to be all football people? But, I mean, your waters run deep, man. I know you've got acting in your life. You've got real-world Chicago in your life.
Yep.
He's a Princeton grad. Your interests are all over the joint. So what are the guest parameters going to be here, Kyle?
Thanks. Yeah, I spent 4 months of my life in 2001 living at North and Damon in Wicker Park, having my life taped with six other strangers on music television. It is, you don't get a lot of that in the football industry. So I appreciate the question. And no, we've already done 4 episodes of this thing. And, you know, we've had football players on. Rodgers was the first, and we had the Honey Badger Tyron Matthew. But I had Paul Rudd, who, of course, is one of the Avengers, and all going back to Clueless and Slapping the Bass and Anchorman and all of that. And what's fun about it is it's not just a conversation like every other podcast. I actually make a game out of it where I ask them questions about themselves. It's kind of trivia-based, and if they get it right, they get a point, and if they don't, they get nothing. So they leave with a final score, and Paul Rudd is down to the last question trying to beat Roger's score and wincing in anguish if he gets it right or wrong. It's super competitive, and you know athletes, Matt, like everything becomes a competition. So when you say you're going to get scored by this, all of a sudden they're ready to roll.
So 2001, I was playing in bands at the Double Door, at the
Sure.
Note. It was the Blue Note, and then it was the Note. I'm sure I saw you right there in that hood at North and Damon at the time. But that's not where I need to go back to. So as a Princeton guy, what was your order at Hoagie Haven? Because I grew up nearby in Lawrenceville. What was your Hoagie Haven order?
Oh, that's my favorite question I've heard in a long time. Well, here's the thing. It would depend on what time of night it was, and it would depend on how many beers it was. So I think the Haven closed, I think at 1 a.m. on Nassau Street. Mm-hmm. And if you skated in at 12:50 and got in, this is what I would do. Because I wanted the best of both worlds. This is the Hoagie Haven version of a surf and turf. I would get one cheesesteak and one chicken parm. So it was like kind of like a half and half. And I would always eat the chicken parm first and just burn the hell out of my mouth and then finish with the cheesesteak, which was all like mayo-y and greasy and cheese, and then you just pass out. But that was it. I went half and half. Did you have an order? You've obviously been to the Haven.
Yeah, half a number 8, the roast beef. I was a roast beef guy, just the way they did that. I kept it pretty simple. Where's the surf, though, in your surf and turf thing? Like the steak and the chicken and the parm, none of that is from the ocean.
I'm not totally sure where the Hoagie Haven meat comes from, Matt. It comes from parts unknown. So it might just be a turf and turf. You're right.
Yeah, it's pretty much a turf and turf. Ross Tucker, another good guy to talk Hoagie Haven with, by the way.
Oh, I went to Hoagie Haven many times with Ross. And it just reminded me, the surf comes from the bag of Swedish fish that I would get on the way out. So that rounded it out.
No, tasty cake, man. You got to go tasty cake on the way out. Get the butterscotch crimpets. Kyle Brandt is on the Twitters. I believe it's at Kyle Brandt, which is a way to do it. And you can see him on Good Morning Football. I need to take you back, Kyle, now that I've buttered you up with niceties and Hoagie Haven conversation. I need to take you back to a couple weeks ago with this tweet from Kyle Brandt. There's a segment of the NFL media that seems to be almost rooting for COVID to affect the season. They want it. They see the Marlins news and say, yep, lots of luck, football. These are people who make their livings off football. I don't get it. This sparked conversation. I think I probably subtweeted you a little bit. So I'm wondering if there were specific people in your mind when you did this, or was it just kind of the feeling of the tenor of conversation at the time?
No, you know, the way that went down was it was almost a couple of weeks ago, and we were wrapping up our show in the morning, a three-hour show, and it was a tough show. It was tedious. It was not fun. And in the last half hour of the show, the Miami Marlins news started to come down, which, if everybody remembers, was dire. It was not good. And I just got down about it. I had a bout of depression, as we all have during these times at one time or another. And the show ended, and I'm kind of feeling down, and I did the worst thing you could do, which is go to Twitter. And, you know, Matt, I just didn't like the tone of some of the things that I read. I didn't like it. It irked me. And I just let my thumbs go, and I tweeted that. And, you know, I've been asked if I regret it. And my answer would be yes, but only because if anybody listening doesn't know what I'm about, I am not a provocateur. I am not someone who lobs grenades on social media to try to up my following. I'm not looking to incite. And there were people who I really respect, and I think even people, more importantly, people that I like, who were genuinely insulted by it. They really were. So I wish I hadn't done it just for that sake, because I don't make my living by just trying to have collateral damage on Twitter. And, you know, of course, the radio host, the columnist, the NFL lifer, someone who makes their living by the NFL, as I do, of course they're not rooting for the season to be affected. However, I didn't delete the tweet because I still think there is a thread of truth to it. I think there is a very small, pungent minority on social media that is rooting for the NFL to be humbled. And I just, that irks me. And I think that was the emotion that came from it.
That's very interesting. I appreciate the answer in the conversation, because as an opinioneer, right, as like, and you know, the most successful people in my realm of the business are provocateurs, you know, and I don't really like that realm of the business. If I have an opinion, I'll share it, but I'm not looking to, like, you know, and it probably explains a limited amount of success, like, it, you know, get a certain amount of reaction and just kind of feed off that as currency. But there is a difference, though, I think, between pointing out the logistical challenges and and I've done it today on the show. It's hard for me to imagine football happening logistically because of the nature of the sport and the nature of 150 people in a traveling party, you know? So we should be able to have those kinds of conversations without it coming off as rooting for the demise of a sport. So I think that can take place. Have you noticed that kind of conversation? And is that okay with you, that kind of logistical conversation about, are they actually going to be able to do this or not?
Of course. I welcome it. And that's why I thought the first episode of Hard Knocks was so fascinating. It was basically an anthropological experiment showing how we dealt with this back in 2020. It was incredible footage. And, you know, I'm the guy who has been screaming on TV about wear a mask. And back in our April, I was screaming at people who weren't taking COVID seriously. So that's just the way Twitter works. And you one tweet and you can get grouped into someone who's maybe skeptical about the pandemic. I know what this pandemic is, and I have the receipts, as they say, to show it. So conversation about how is this going to be pulled off? Of course. Yes. I just, you know, what's most interesting, Matt, about that tweet is that it really insulted a lot of people. And like I said, a lot of people that I like. And yet, if it was just a stupid tweet that pissed people off, that's a dime a dozen. What was interesting about it is that thousands and thousands of people liked it, which really has my brain in a pretzel.
Well, I think because here's the part that I understand.
Yeah.
Is that we've both seen this. This business in being an opinioneer is filled with people who root for themselves to be right.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you are saying something and the next month it plays out, it is the very nature of the business to say, I told you so. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when that gets mixed in with outcomes that are damaging to people or, you know, are genuinely damaging, that's really unseemly. That's really ugly. So I think there's part of me that absolutely empathizes with where you're coming from and that. But I think that's the failure of an opinioneer to not separate one from another.
Well, we're talking about different species of social media users now. And I think you and I are on the same page with that. Look, there's people who plant their flag on something and they are going to die on that hill, whether it costs them their career or it blows up their career. And sometimes it's who's going to win the MVP, sometimes who's going to be a bust. In this case, it's just there's some of that going on with what's going to happen to the pandemic that's sweeping the country. I don't have my flag staked in anywhere like that. And I honestly think about the conversation and certainly about the tweet that I did a couple weeks ago. You know, Matt, it's so much changes now. The story changes every day. And I do feel that a couple weeks back, the tenor was a little bit differently than it is now, especially since the college football news was really sobering. And, you know, anyone who is having any kind of perceived titillation about pandemic and what it's doing to the NFL, and I hope the NFL is brought to its knees, I think it's dissipated a lot, you know. And so in the time since my tweet, maybe I perceive less of that. Maybe my radar is a little bit down. But every single day the thing changes, and I think it's changed a lot since then.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if it has. And in terms of college football, there's a lot of people, I've seen this, where people are like, yeah, you don't deserve college football because the same people who've been saying, you know, don't wear a mask and it's overrated, you want your college football, yeah, you can't get it. And, you know, frankly, I feel that as a nation, we barely deserve sports. And I make my living in it, man. I want it. Like, I'm a baseball guy. I'm loving every minute of this, but it's so freaking awkward because I don't feel like as a country we've done our part in a lot of ways. So maybe that gets mixed in with people who want the NFL to be humbled out there.
It could, man. It's so personal. You know, I make my living from football, too. And if football goes away, like, we got some real problems. Is not only, never mind our show, I'm talking about families and children and things like that. So, you know, maybe there's some of that, you know, I'm sensitive to people seeming to take some sort of ownership in predicting that the league wouldn't work out, and people also being sensitive to me saying that that's happening. Everybody, it's a sensitive, sensitive time. And I think 6 months ago when the NCAA tournament got canceled, we said this is crazy, but thank God there's plenty of time for football and we'll get ready for that. And now, you know, we're not going to have Buckeyes Wolverines this fall. So it's really, really, really upsetting. And I don't know, people are in their feelings, as they say, me included.
Yeah, you know, understandable. All right. Appreciate your willingness to have the conversation.
Sure.
And I will be checking out the podcast. And nice to talk to you, Kyle. I hope we get football. I don't know. I mean, you got a gut feeling on it?
You know, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I would say that the NFL season feels like a character in one of the shows you watch, in Better Call Saul or Game of Thrones, that where you're really rooting for them and you love that character, but in the back of your head you know that they're going to get killed at the end of the show and you just don't want it to happen. I thought that was going to be the NFL season. But we rounded the corner. I really think that we're going to do it. And the question has gone from, are we going to start the season to, can we finish the season? I think they're going to kick off in September. I just hope that they kick off in February in Tampa for the Super Bowl.
Kyle, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Hey, Matt, great job, man. Really good to be on with you.
All right, good. You got it. It's from the NFL Network. Yeah, man. And like, I've always been bothered when the desire to be right gets, it kind of overwhelms the conversation about what should happen, what should not happen, and what might actually be damaging. So I get that part of the conversation. But we have to discuss things. We have to discuss things and deal with the realities. And maybe he's right that the NFL is just going to be marching through, like Roger Goodell, the giant Kool-Aid man blasting through the wall of toilet paper and paper towels and spraying hand sanitizer at everybody as he makes sure that football happens. It just doesn't make logistical sense to me that you could do it, football. But they're pros, and baseball's happening. not in a bubble. Baseball's your closest comp because it's not in a bubble. It's just that the sport itself lends itself to the possibility of actually taking place through a pandemic. It's Matt Spiegel in for Dan Bernstein right here on 670 The Score. Fanlessness in baseball has been really fascinating, and we've learned some stuff. One of the coolest examples of this from last night, we'll bring you the audio of it, a great player giving you something you would never get in a normal fan-filled experience. It's Spiegel in for Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Like your sports page in the morning, Molly and Hall are first to let you know what happened with your favorite Chicago team last night.
Good morning to the engineers of the greatest show in radio history.
I'm here to wow you.
Molly and Hall, first and best, mornings 5 to 9.
I am here for you.
On 670 The Score, Chicago's number one sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
It is 670 The Score. It's Matt Spiegel with you in for Dan Bernstein. Before we get to some really cool baseball audio from last night, got to call at 312-644-6767. John is in Streamwood and is now on The Score with me, Spiegel, in for Bernstein. By the way, this segment on The Score is brought to you by Burlington Stores. Have you been to a Burlington lately? They have unbelievable deals on amazing brands and styles at up to 60% off other retailers' prices. No coupons or sales, just fabulous values every single day. Whether it's back to school, work, or just back, you'll love Burlington. Only a real professional introduces a caller and then does a read before actually going to them. That's old school. What's up, John? How are you? Welcome to The Score.
Matt, that was a fantastic read. Burlington really getting their money worth on that spot, dude. Loved it. So I listened to the Kyle Brandt piece, and I have a baseline level of respect for Kyle Brandt because he's a very smart dude, and he's not a provocateur, like you said. And I have a whole lot of respect for you because you bring these people on your show, and you have a tough conversation that doesn't divert into, like, yelling and screaming at somebody. But the thing that I got from that was, look, how far have we drifted as a society when we're being faced with a pandemic that doesn't, you know, pandemics don't have a human face. You can't go out and beat a virus into submission. The only way you can do that is you can negate the virus by taking the steps needed to cut down on the spread of transmission and disease. And I'm also someone who makes not quite my living, but a little bit of money in sports. I used to be a stringer myself, covered high school and college sports. And in my summer job, I worked for a park district, and I am the person who runs a slow pitch softball league. And we had to put coronavirus precautions into place, starting the league later, asking people to wear masks, mandating everyone wear batting gloves. But when we get to these conversations of who's putting the blame on who in the media for, you know, oh, you want to see the NFL fail, you want to see it humbled, I just think that's entirely baseless. I think what we really want to see is we want to see football happen in the safest way possible. And if the NFL is not going to do a bubble like the NBA did, that's not the safest way possible for a game that inherently is unsafe when it comes to the transmission of body fluid. And what I see from that also is a trickle-down effect, because I see people on Twitter and my mentions, the high school level, you know, why can't the high schoolers play football? And most school districts aren't even having in-person classes this right. fall because that's unsafe. And you're going to ask 16, 17, 18-year-old kids to go out and sweat on each other, take the same kind of punishment for what? This is entertainment at the end of the day. We've drifted away from what's important.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways I could have gone in that conversation. Like, here's the thing. I kind of hate when the conversation becomes about the conversation. And in this case, it is now a conversation about the conversation about the conversation, right? We've basically got three levels of a Christopher Nolan movie going on as we don't have football to talk about. I much prefer talking about the games. But here's the thing. I don't think he's wrong that there are jackasses in media and certainly on social media who would love to see the NFL humbled. I don't think he's necessarily wrong about that. There are terrible people with jobs in this business who do root for those kinds of things. I think generalizing it is where he got in trouble, and he probably should have been specific. But then that takes the stones to point at specific people. And instead, he throws it out there, and it ends up coming off like a provocateur conversation.
Don't you think that there are more people on the other side of that conversation, though, who are wanting football to happen at any cost necessary because that's their livelihood and they want to work and they want to make money? Or there are people who just want the distraction. I feel like there's so many more people on the other side of that coin than on the jackassery of the I want to see the NFL fail. I mean, this is the most
beloved
institution in this country.
Yeah, but there's, and a lot of the people that want to look past the virus and want to just make sure it happens, they own the football teams, right? And other people who want it to happen, they work at the White House and lots of other places. Obviously that faction is massive and that faction is loud. And I don't particularly think that Kyle Brandt lives among those people and breathes among those people. I don't think that he does. But he is part of the machinery, and this is the danger. Thanks for the call, John, and the conversation, is that at a certain point, you can become part of the machinery and lose your morals and lose your actual, and lose your integrity and your intellectual integrity. I live with that just talking baseball. I mentioned it last hour. It doesn't feel right to withstand an outbreak on a baseball team and just kind of move forward and say, all right, let's give me your next 20 Marlins. Who else you got? I know you furloughed your pro scouting department, but go ahead and find me another 20 guys that you can put on that team. Oh, you got them? Okay, who do we got? Who do we got? Okay, this guy has been on the couch for a while. This guy, we got the ambidextrous pitcher. We got him. Yeah, throw him out there. Let's go. Let's do that. And I love Pat Venditti. I think that story is fun, and I think him playing is fun. But, I mean, that's the thing. I have to live with myself that I morally think it's wrong and scientifically think it's not helpful and incorrect to be doing it, and yet I love the game. And living in that confluence of thoughts is awkward. It's tiring. And when you're in a quick-trigger business and a quick-take business, it's really exhausting. And it's just not the best way to live in that business and kind of go about your job and build your brand. Brand, not Brandt. It's not a comfortable place to be. Them's the breaks. This is not a comfortable time in the world. Appreciate the call, John. 670, the score is where you are. It's Matt Spiegel in for Dan Bernstein. You can watch me have these conversations on Twitch. I'm enjoying it. It's twitch.tv/Chicago670, the score. And oh, wow. Hey, look at this. People are commenting. I had no idea. Man, I had absolutely no idea. I wish that my grandpa would have told me about that when he regaled me with tales of Twitch when I was a kid. I would have been following along. 670, the score is where you are. It's Spiegel in for Bernstein. We'll give you that awesome audio from baseball last night next on the score.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. Chicago guys talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with just the way the lineup's set up. I think 1-5, 1-6 is such tough at bats and such big names too that once the pitcher gets through that, takes a little small breath, takes his foot off the accelerator for a second, and it kind of gives 7, 8, 9 a chance to put some runs on the board and just get some pitches to hit. I think that's kind of the difference. And as long as our lineup stays disciplined, stays locked in, and doesn't let up on a pitcher, that's what's going to happen. I think having to respect 9 guys in the order is just exhausting for a pitcher. And I think you can kind of see that when we're all having good ABs.
Yeah, I remember when Theo and Jed got here and they talked about pitches per plate appearance. That was a thing that the Red Sox did during Theo's time. Welcome back in on 670 The Score. That's Ian Happ from earlier in the show. You can check that out. Go to the website at 670thescore.com or use the radio.com rewind, radio.com app. Use the rewind function and it's good. It's good. It works well. And you can go back and listen to Ian Happ from 9:30 this morning. Download the radio.com app to stream the score on your mobile devices. You can interact with this show and the station on Facebook, where you can like the 670 The Score page. So the Greinke and Sano audio that I'm talking about, you're about to hear. I think it's the coolest stuff. This Greinke stuff especially is like the coolest thing that has come out from the fanlessness. One of the coolest things has been hearing, obviously, the players, hearing people talk. Listen to this from last night. Last game, you may remember that Zach Greinke, the brilliant pitcher for the Houston Astros, formerly of the D-backs, formerly of the Brewers, formerly of the Royals, Zach Greinke, formerly of the Dodgers. Zach Greinke, it's pretty amazing that he's been on that many teams for a guy who's that good. Baseball's weird. When you start making a lot of money, it gets really difficult for certain teams to keep you. So Zach Greinke last started giving the signs to the catcher himself. Now, let me just tell you what I'm doing. Martin Maldonado, I'll just tell you what's what here, okay? It's much easier for me. It's absolutely hilarious. Well, he kicked it up a notch yesterday. This is Martin Maldonado behind the plate. Mauricio Dubon of the Giants is at bat. Brandon Crawford of the Giants is on second base. And when a guy is on second, that's when it gets sketchy for a pitcher because you're worried that he's stealing your signs. Here's what happened last night as Zach Greinke was pitching and Brandon Crawford was on second base.
Brooks Raley in the pen.
Oh, my. Everybody knows what sign they're going with now. This is incredible. He told everybody what signs they're going with.
Second sign after one. Second sign after two. What's that?
Second sign after two.
So play it again, Ray? It's amazing.
Second sign after two.
Second sign after two. I think Brandon Crawford could probably hear that. He could probably hear that.
Second sign.
Amazing. Zach Greinke doesn't care. Because here's the deal. As long as he does his job and executes his pitches, it doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter if the batter knows what's coming. Doesn't even matter. Because he throws ridiculous stuff that moves all funky. Some of the sliders he was throwing last night, just moving like crazy. There's one moment last night where he says, all right, here comes a slider, and he holds up the fingers, and he's signaling it, and then he throws it, and dude swings wildly as the slider careens like a foot and a half off the outside corner. Greinke doesn't care.
Second sign after two.
MLB.com is who we have to thank for that. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I think that's among the absolute coolest things that have come out of fanlessness. Tell me, text at 312-644-6767. What are some of the best things to come out of the fanless experience for you? We had Carlos Rodon laughing at Luis Robert in summer camp after Robert had homered. And then the next time up against Rodon, Rodon got him out and he kind of laughed at him. Max Scherzer on opening night, as Giancarlo Stanton is taking him deep, pretty much before the swing, certainly before the crack of the bat, you have Scherzer screaming, "Mother bleeper!" because Stanton just took him deep and he absolutely knew it. We're hearing some cool stuff. We are hearing dugouts being involved. We've talked about the Cubs' perspective on that. We're hearing infielders call to outfielders to tell them which base to throw to. All that kind of stuff. I can't get enough of it. For the baseball dork, it is just absolute gold. So give me some of your thoughts at 312-644-6767 of the coolest things that you've experienced with the current state of fanlessness. it's having another effect. Fanlessness is having another effect. Miguel Sano hit just a monster home run for the Twins yesterday against the Milwaukee Brewers. And listen to Jack Morris and the other broadcasters discuss it. Here's Sano's home run yesterday.
A long blast to left field.
Up in the slide.
I have no idea where that landed. A towering home run to left field.
He's been trying to do that for a while. This one he got into. I mean, we don't even know where the ball went.
Wow, a long home run for Miguel Sano. That's number 4, and the Twins have a 6-0 lead. Wow.
They lost the ball. They couldn't find the ball. Eventually, they figured out, thanks to StatCast, where the ball actually went and where it landed. But they couldn't find it. I love Jack Morris going, is that up in the slide? Bernie Brewer's slide. They thought it went up there and just kind of hung around on the slide. And I realized, here's what usually happens. Somebody hits a home run, it goes really far. And then the cameras pick up, and therefore we pick up, fans getting hit by the ball. Or somebody reaching down and picking up the ball, or somebody catching the ball. This is how we usually find the ball, because there's people and there's activity. Oh yeah, somebody moved over there. Oh, there it is. We don't have that now. We don't have that anymore. So this is what you get, is sometimes people just losing the baseball. What else are we getting? We're like, the bat tracks are just massive. Just hearing it in such pristine detail. Juan Soto, who hit a ball like 460-some feet at Citi Field a few days ago, hit one further yesterday. Hit it further. Some of the coolest things that we are getting to experience with fanlessness. Text it in at 312-644-6767. This texter says, Matt, I enjoy the cameras staying on the players, the dugout, the fielder's positioning, not giving me children or drunken idiots or other people in the stands. Yeah, that's a bonus. That's a benefit, isn't it, as you're watching the game?
I've got two, Speaks. You don't have the idiots during a golf broadcast screaming, get in the hole on a par 5 tee shot. Yeah. In the Hawks series against the Oilers, this was one of the downsides, is when Tyler Ennis took a shot, broke his leg. You could hear him screaming in agony, and that was not great. I could have used a crowd right then.
Can I get 10,000 people?
Oh, please? Yeah, God. Can we put on like It's Raining Men or something over there so we can not have to hear that? It was right. That was a rough go. It's like,
where's Cuppy Coffee? Loudly. Yeah, where's Cuppy Coffee when you need them?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That was one of the downsides. But golf is watchable again. That's what I like.
You know, I haven't watched golf. I really haven't. So nobody, Baba Booey. There's nobody screaming Baba Booey right after.
No, they actually pipe that in. they pipe that in, the crowd noise. Yeah. Did you see, by the way, early on the Cubs did, they were piping in the obnoxious hot dog vendor. The guy who yells hot dogs, you can hear him throughout the city. They recorded and piped that guy into the game.
Yeah.
That was one part I was looking forward to, is not having to hear that guy.
No, you need to hear that guy. They've been mixing it in very subtly. They've gone back into their own archives of game audio that they have, and they're like, and that's game audio, not maudio, not any kind of maudio. So they've got their own. And they've mixed in that to localize it a little bit. Yeah, remember how, man, we talked about that so much. We talked about this stuff so much. And now we just kind of all deal with it. I'll tell you when it's still weird. Tonight, the Cubs are on Fox. They're on good old WFLD, channel 32.
The UHF, and, channel 32.
Thank you. And that means, so get out your rabbit ears, everybody. And maybe some people still have them. That means, though, that you'll see the fake fans. The way that Fox does the fake fans of the baseball game is just, it's the worst possible way. It really is. Because they'll only give it to you for certain wide shots where you're like, oh, that's right, those are fake fans. Every single time I have that thought process. It's like, what's that? Oh, yeah, no, that's right, those are fake. Just stop. I don't need it. Nobody needs it. But you're Fox. So I guess we should have seen that coming. Texture says a ball hitting the metal bleachers. So satisfying. Reminds me of high school or minor league games in small old stadiums. Yeah, who was it who homered? I think it was in Pittsburgh where he broke a bench. Was it Josh Bell? Or maybe it was Gregory Polanco. Somebody broke a bleacher bench in Pittsburgh. These are the things. These are the opportunities that have been presented to us and are really, really fun. So I'm digging that part of it very much. The opportunity that has been presented to us. That said, I'd like to go to a game. I saw that the Cincinnati Reds, submitted their bids for the city to try and get fans into the games at Cincinnati. We know that the Cubs were working with this company called Social Distance Manager. That's the name of the software, actually. The company is something else. It's this company that deals with stadiums and making 3D models of stadiums so they can help figure out logistically how to do certain things within the stadiums. Now, they've created this product called Social Distance Manager, and the Cubs are working with it, trying to figure out where would we put our 2 people, where would we put our 4 people, where would we put our 6 people, so they're 6 feet apart from mouth to mouth, which, frankly, I think is a great way to live one's life. Romantically and otherwise. No, I kid. But anyway, so yeah, so the Reds are doing things. We really have a kind of a renegade possibility here. I'm bummed. Anybody else bummed that Nebraska has fallen in line and set out a statement today saying that they very much appreciate being in the Big Ten? We are a fully committed Big Ten member. I was really looking forward to Nebraska going out there and trying to have a season all their own. Saw that North Dakota State had reached out to Nebraska and said, hey, if you guys are playing football, we'll play you. I'd kind of looked forward to that. Not going to happen. This has been fun. Spiegel in for Bernstein today. Lawrence Holmes is coming up next. He's got a packed show. In moments, Steve Stone will join him at noon. Jason Goff, I totally know that guy. He's on with Lawrence at 12:30. And at 1 o'clock, Josiah Johnson, an NBA Twitter personality that I'm not hip to. So we'll look forward to hearing that. Lawrence is coming up next. Tomorrow on the show, Jay Zawoski will join us in the first segment as we talk about Blackhawks and Vegas Golden Knights Game 2 tonight. Expect anything different tonight, Jay? I know the nuclear option of Taves, Kane, and Kubalik played together just a little bit the other night in Game 1.
I don't know. This is a bad answer for me, but I don't know what to expect. They hung in there early in the game, but I think, yeah, they got to find a way to get Patrick Kane going, and if that's the way to do it, then do it.
That used to be the Taves and Kane together, the old nuclear option. Go ahead. We'll see if Jeremy Colleton goes for it. Jay will have will be much more prepared for segment 1 tomorrow morning. I know that for sure. So Jay's on the show tomorrow. Ryan Dempster's on the show tomorrow. I got to talk about Derek Lee not telling him that he knew when he was throwing over to make a pickoff attempt every time for 7 years, not sharing that with him. And Joe Shanahan, the owner and proprietor of Cabaret Metro, will talk about the live music scene with me tomorrow at around 11:40. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at MattSpiegel670. Lawrence Holmes is next. Thank you to Ray Diaz. Thank you to Jay Zawoski. Thank you to Kyle Brandt and Ian Happ and Russ Dorsey from the Chicago Sun-Times. Have a great day, everybody.
With Chicago's Sports Morning Show, Mully and Hall, live at 5, covering the stories that matter to Chicago sports fans. Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Blackhawks. They're live and they're local. Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.